Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, where we count things down. This week, in honor of watching 1997 sold out for our Going In Raw view tomorrow, we're going to count down the 10 worst NWO members. And I'm going to kick things off. Let's say number 10, Steve here. This is not an NWO shirt.
Not an NWO shirt.
No, but it kind of looks like it. No, number 10.
10.
Sting.
Sting, the actual Sting.
Was this real Sting?
Steve Borden.
NWO Sting.
Hold off on those thoughts. This is the real Sting. Steve Borden. He was a member of NWO Wolfpack briefly for a matter of a few months before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Sting should never have been a member of NWO. I don't care if it was a cool face Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Sting and the NWO were enemies.
Yes.
That should have remained the same. And I even feel you disagree with me. At WrestleMania 31, the NWO should not have come out to help
Sting. You're so wrong about that.
I'm 100% right about that.
Here's the thing. At this point, when kayfabe is dead, it benefited the WCW for the NWO to be strong, and it benefited the NWO for the WCW to be strong. We're talking about two different universes where heroes and villains have to team up to take on the other universe's heroes and villains. If Marvel is fighting DC, then Batman's going to have to team up with somebody like Lex Luthor. I wanted to say Lex
Luthor. You did.
Yeah. But we can both agree that Sting never should have been a member of the NWO, regardless of if it was Wolfpack or not. And he looked absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why they couldn't find a matte makeup. Like for his red face paint, because it was super greasy. It looked really bad on him.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
It was a very unfortunate time.
You know what they should have done for WrestleMania 31? Is have DX come out to help Triple H.
Yeah.
You have Flair, Booker T, DDP come out to help Sting.
Yeah.
And you have the NW involved just to mess with everybody.
Yeah, that could have been kind of cool.
And then at the end, NW has to make a choice. Do they ultimately help Triple H win because they're buddies? Hall and
yeah,
Ashar
true, yeah.
and X-Pac,
yeah.
Or they help WCW.
Yeah.
There's more drama there.
Yeah, but wait a second. Sting was part of the NWO, so what was your problem with it again?
He was part of the NWO Wolfpack, but they don't...
He should have done the thing where he came out in like the Sting white mask, but then he takes it off and it's red underneath.
Yeah. See, if they came out, if Hogan wasn't there and they came out in Wolfpack gear, all right.
No, oh, you're getting too much into the minutia. WCW, which included NWO versus DX
no,
and
but
WWF.
They didn't. The NWO was trying to exist outside of WCW. That's what they put on their own pay-per-view. They want to be their own thing.
Yeah, we saw
they
that.
They wanted to destroy WCW.
We saw how well that worked. Number nine.
Nine.
Big Bubba Rogers. To which I say, who?
It's Boss Man.
Yeah, that's right. Big Boss Man.
The Guardian Angel.
The Guardian Angel himself. So
this was during the first spell of the NWO. After its formation, where they were just adding everybody.
This is like phase two. They literally went, DiBiase went into the WCW locker room and said, everybody needs to join or you're on the wrong side of things. And so you saw him. You saw a couple more names on this list. That's when Buff Bagwell joined. He actually became an okay man. He's not on this list. I kind of like Buff. Like in terms of his placement in the NWO, in terms of a young WCW talent who they were trying to make a star out of, I thought that he was okay. I like.
Yeah,
that.
He was. I watching his work now, it's a bit less annoying than I remember him being at the time.
Yeah, but yeah, he was still pretty annoying.
He was,
but he made a good teammate with Steiner. They sort of balanced each other pretty well.
Yeah, he and Scott Norton had a decent tag team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. They did. So Buffalo was okay.
But getting back to Boss
Buffwell, Man, Buff Bagwell
to Boss Man, Bubba Rogers.
Yeah, they had to change his name because he was
he
in
couldn't
the
be Boss Man
in
WCW. WWEF at the time owned that name.
But yeah, he was just one of just way too many.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense for him to be a member.
No.
And I never really understood. I mean, at certain points, it seemed plainly obvious that Hogan will get his friends in the NWO.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll say, and I'll just tease it a bit here, during our review of Sold Out, which goes up tomorrow.
Yeah.
that is a really missed opportunity for the NWO, which they were pushing as this kind of
outlaw organization.
Yeah. Like
the biker gang.
Well, I mean, according to Kevin Nash, that's what Eric Bischoff wanted it to be. why not get some up and coming wrestlers?
Mm-hmm,
apart from Buff, and you could say Six.
Yeah.
Everybody else was a veteran who had been around for a long time. I mean, I know X-Pac had too, but you know, he wasn't like he was a huge star in WWE. He had some success, but he was never world champ or anything.
You know what's funny about Big Bubba Rogers too?
Hmm.
Is that so, like, when he was in the NWO, like the NWO, they were known for like just sort of looking cool. You know, like they had these cool shirts and they'd wear like jeans or whatever.
Yeah, but he had leather pants, which is cool, but he tuck his shirt into his pants.
A, leather pants are not cool. And B, yes, he would tuck his shirt in his pants. But if you juxtapose that with him, like just a year later when he moved back over to WWF.
When he had like, the SWAT gear on.
He had shield gear.
Yeah.
And he looked rad. It was like, oh, wow, cool. And then they like had the, who, like somebody hung him?
Undertaker.
Undertaker hung him. That was not good.
No.
Anyways, Big Bubba. And he made no impact in NWO whatsoever.
No, none.
Talking about no impact. Number eight.
Eight.
Michael Wall Street. Oh, man. My dad was a member of the NWO, man.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt's father, Mike Rotunda,
mm-hmm.
who was known as IRS WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Was a member of the NWO. I actually forgot he was in the NWO until we watched Sold Out.
He is like totally the asterisk member. It's, wait, he was in the NWO?
Yeah.
Because I think it was for a very short period of time. I think like right after this. So right before this is when DiBiase said, all right, everybody has to join. And he did. And then right after this, J.J. Dillon said, no, you're under contract with WCW, so you can't be in the NWO. So why wouldn't he have just said that with everybody?
And then you have no NWO.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
He singled out Michael Wall Street, who, like you said during our review, you say he really just didn't seem like he was enamored with the entire idea.
Yeah, when you think of an outlaw organization, the first thing you think of?
IRS.
Yeah.
I know. He was probably thinking to himself, I had a really good thing going with that Wall Street gimmick. It was like IRS.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in WWF, he was a former tag champion.
Yeah, no, I know.
And then, you know, he's like a C-level member of NWO. And then surely not even that. And I think after this, he doesn't, you know, really showed up in WCW much anymore.
Yeah, I don't know,
He
man.
Did here and there, I think.
Yeah, he did. He did here and there, but not a lot. But yeah, no, totally like the guy, really? He was like he would lead, he would be number one on the list of 10 people you didn't know were in the NWO.
Apart from the celebrity members.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there was a TV chef who was a celebrity member.
That's right. One of the, like, Richard Petty, like the NASCAR driver. I think he was
Kyle
a member.
Petty.
Oh, Kyle Petty?
I think so.
Who's Richard Petty? Is that not?
No, he's a race car driver.
He is
a
okay, both good. Car driver. Making sure it's not Tom Petty. Tom Petty would have been an interesting choice for NWO.
That would have been a very interesting choice.
I feel like, you know what would have been.
Imagine
really
if they changed their theme to Won't Back Down.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Roy Orbison totally seemed like he could have been, yeah, because he was all black. Number seven.
Seven.
Horace Hogan.
This seems like a nepotism pick. Because Horace Hogan is, in fact, Hulk Hogan's nephew.
Yeah.
And
he's a goofy-looking dude, too.
He had wrestled some before. I think he wrestled in Japan quite a bit.
You know what I think of when I think of Horace Hogan? If I ever am unfortunate enough like to have to shave my head because I'm going bald, my head is like Horace Hogan's. It's not pretty. He does not have a pretty-looking bald head. That's Horace Hogan.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason he's on here.
No, it's mostly because he's a nepotism pick. When he came to WCW, he was a member of the Flock, Raven's Flock for a bit.
Horace Boulder.
Yeah. That ended. And then he got involved in the Hogan Warrior storyline.
Yeah, because Hogan was saying, I love you. You're my dead brother's son, brother. Do you want to be in the NWO? And he was like, yeah, of course. Everybody wants to be in the NWO.
He said, yeah, for life.
For life. And then Hogan said, swerved him, destroyed him, like just annihilated him, and then called out the Warrior and said, if this is what I could do to somebody I love, which then imagine what I could do to you, brother. Eventually, and then at Halloween Havoc, he helped Hogan win against the Warrior. He helped Hogan get that you know, redeem his loss.
Yes,
from
at WrestleMania 6. Yeah.
And so he was granted status of NWO member. And again, a very underwhelming member of the NWO.
Yeah. Largely forgettable, as far as I can recall.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's lasted that long. Oh, man, he was still around for the B team.
Oh, for... Because
there was NWO Elite.
Yeah.
And then there was the B Team.
Oh. And then at that point, he began...
In 99, yeah.
Okay. And then he even started... He stayed on with Hogan, trying to fight the New Blood and Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
So he stuck around.
Yeah, and then he... You mentioned that after WCW went under and WWF bought him, he wrestled WWF Developmental for a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then he wrestled some dark matches for SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive? Do you think he's alive, yes or no? Mm. Yes, still
good.
Alive.
Good.
He's 51. He's got two kids. Good for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, next.
What number are we on?
We are number six.
Six.
NWO Sting.
I think
Sting.
NWO Sting made his greatest impact in WCW versus NWO World Tour.
Yes.
He was included on the roster there.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, he really made zero impact.
Zero
of course, the
impact.
Idea was... NWO was engaged in a battle against Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Sting disappeared for a while, and so they brought in NWO Sting, who was actually Jeff Farmer, a wrestler who'd been around for a while.
Nice.
In Sting's crow makeup, and they were trying to pass him off as the real Sting.
Right.
Leading people to think that Sting had joined the NWO.
Right.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
Decent enough.
Okay. Decent enough.
Decent enough. You're trying to swerve the fans, you know. It's obvious.
Yeah, I know. What's like the final? I'm wondering what the. I like that in terms of like the setup, but then what was their payoff in that situation?
Hogan actually winning the match against Sting at Starrcade '97.
Like I don't. It's like
that's what happened. Hogan actually beat Sting because it wasn't a fast count.
No, I know.
And then they sent Bret Hart out there to say no, that was a fast count.
Yeah,
when it wasn't. Because Hogan politicked his way to actually kind of getting a win.
No, I know. But, like, okay, going back to fake Sting, what was their end game with that?
I'm sure they had a match at some point and Sting beat him.
What was their purpose in bringing... Hey, you know what we're going to do? He's not going to join us. We're just going to have our own Sting, brother.
No, I think the idea was to fool... They were trying to fool the fans. I remember this happening.
Yeah, I get it. But, okay, what's the end game, though? You fool the fans. The fans think that Sting is on your team. That doesn't bring Sting any closer to your team.
I don't know.
I just don't get what the plan was. That was my problem.
Well, it's WCW. They didn't really have a plan, I don't think.
No, I know. But, like, storyline, there has to be some reason. Like, there has to be some reason.
That's it.
Was Jeff Farmer, like, a motorcycle enthusiast?
Not that I'm aware
of. Is that why Bischoff liked him?
I don't know. But Jeff Farmer, NWO Sting, went back and forth between WCW and then wrestling in New Japan as a member of the NWO faction over there.
But as fake Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what the Japanese refer to him as.
I don't know.
What was like his, did they call him fake Sting? Like whatever the...
I don't know. What really surprised me is that he was a member of the NWO for 3 years. From 96 to 99.
Yeah.
His last appearance in the States was May of 98. But then, this is interesting, according to Wikipedia, NWO Sting returned to Japan where he had a run as a fan favorite.
Oh, and that's, I think that's what they refer to him as, just NWO Sting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he, over in Japan, he was teaming up with Great Muda, Brian Adams, Tenzan throughout 98.
That's interesting.
I know.
No, I'm saying what I just found is interesting.
What?
That is interesting. But after leaving NWO Japan, he changed his ring name to Super J.
Super Jeff, maybe.
Well, yeah, but also, isn't that the Super J Cup?
Yeah.
Was it named after him?
I don't know.
I thought that was like Super Juniors.
But then he formed a team with Masahiro Chono and Michael Wall Street.
Oh, nice.
To feud with NWO Japan. They're called Team 2000.
That's great. Look at that. 2001 G. Oh, they had a G1 Tag League. They still got that? Or is that the...
I think it's the World Tag League now.
Yeah, okay. All right. Anyways, yeah, very confusing. It was very confusing, although it did lead to that great thing where like there's that GIF... that you can find online of Sting with a Sting mask on. And he takes it off and it's Sting underneath.
Yeah.
So I think he was trying to fool the fans into thinking that he was NWO Sting, but then he was real Sting.
Yeah, he was. And he attacked the NWO, solidifying the fact that he was real Sting and not NWO Sting, because NWO Sting wouldn't attack the NWO.
I think there's a similar gif from TNA where Sting is in the crowd
And
wearing a Sting mask.
Takes the mask off and it's real Sting. Yes.
There's no better swerve. Like, you would think the t-shirt swerve is the best swerve, but...
The mask. But you're wearing the mask of who you are. Yeah, I know what you mean. That's a great swerve.
That's the best swerve ever, because it's like, I'm Sting.
I'm Sting, but I'm Sting. His first is, I'm Sting, but no, yeah. I'm Sting.
No, I'm Sting.
Number five.
Five.
Hollywood Hogan, brother. Whoa. Wow. Okay, so here's the thing. Kevin Nash, when he came in, super cool.
Yeah, Scott Hall, super the epitome cool. of cool.
Hulk Hogan.
Not cool.
Totally not cool.
And yeah, it was kind of, it was shocking and kind of cool when he turned heel and joined the NWO.
Yeah.
But then quickly, due to his politicking, due to his creative control clause in his contract, mm-hmm. he just kind of proceeded to bury the whole thing.
And that's why the Wolfpack was actually pretty cool at first anyways. And then, but then like Lou was a part of it. So he made
we'll
it
get to that
cool.
later. Hold on.
But like, oh, sorry. So, but like, you know, it was Kevin Nash who always just seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like that's why he was a fan favorite, because Kevin Nash was just talk real shit. And like,
well, you know, he and Hall were some of the two to first kind of break kayfabe on air and stuff like that.
And so I remember that stare down like between Nash and Hogan, and Nash like referred to Hogan's sunglasses as like Jackie O glasses or something like that. He said they look like women's sunglasses. And those little like, you know, emasculating things were hilarious that Kevin Nash would do. And Hogan had no comeback for that. He would just look confused.
I know.
Whenever Hogan was presented with somebody shooting on him, he would just look confused. He would look steamed and confused.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Hulk Hogan. You can't be saying those things out here. You can't be real. Hogan was like the least kayfabe breaking guy there was.
Oh, I know. Without kayfabe, he's nothing pretty much.
Without nothing, he's very confused.
Yes.
Just look at his, watch his blowjob sex tape because he's very confused. Oh, man.
Yeah. Just watching Sold Out 97. Hogan is not cool.
He's like that solidified him.
And really, like the whole story building up to Hogan versus Sting for the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest story to tell. Mm-hmm. They were doing a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hogan has to go and politic his way to essentially winning the match.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why?
Victory. Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're so consumed with your own ego, you can't stand the thought of not having the top spot in the company, even though if it's best for the company to not have the top spot. You're getting paid outrageous sums of money.
Huge amount
That's
of money.
That's not going anywhere.
I know.
All right.
Exactly. And it could be the thing. Here's the thing. That money's not going anywhere. And if you put other people over, you will ensure that money gets bigger.
Yes.
That's the thing. You ensure the health of the company by just setting your massive ego aside.
Yes.
You're ensuring that you will continue to get paid vast amounts
of
money.
It's like in Hogan's mind, the formula was Hogan main event equals a lot of dollar signs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, especially as champion, just across the board.
Yeah.
Whereas if he took the time to take a back seat from time to time, help nurture some younger talent, bring them up to the main event, those are new feuds that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
We don't really want to see Hogan Warrior again.
No, we don't.
We want to see new feuds.
I know.
Make new stars. That's more money down the line.
Yeah.
But it never worked out the way.
Nope.
Like Super Brawl 98, the rematch between Sting and Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally Hogan beating up Sting for 20 minutes. Sting gets virtually no offense.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Doesn't make any sense, dude.
It makes zero sense. It's frustrating.
Keeps me strong, and, brother.
Yeah. Hogan is one of the reasons, major reasons, why the NWO ultimately failed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because he's not cool.
No, he's not cool. Number four.
Four.
Vincent. Here is the great thing about Vincent. You knew every single time he came out for a match, you knew he was going to lose. He was the consummate NWO jobber. There was zero rhyme or reason. I don't know what his win-loss record was, but I remember every time you'd watch Thunder, the opening match would be Vincent versus somebody who was about to beat Vincent. Oh, man. I remember for like a half second when he was talking a lot about Olive Garden on Twitter, when it was like, oh, Vincent's kind of cool again. And then he tried to congratulate Xavier Woods on Twitter, and Xavier Woods put him on blast by saying, I don't want your congratulations because you said I'm never going to get anywhere because I'm black. Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Vincent, the consummate jobber for the NWO. There is nothing cool about him.
No, nothing.
One of the worst. Number three.
Three.
The Disciple.
So this was just, you remember the Disciple?
Yeah.
When Beefcake showed up with a giant beard.
Yeah.
Again, in biker gear.
in biker gear.
And came out to serve as like Hogan's bodyguard or something.
This was after...
this is definitely a case where Hogan brought his friend to the NWO.
Like, this was essentially nepotism.
Yes.
And this was after Beefcake got into that match with his sailboat and wrecked his face so he grew a giant beard. Wrestling is so... Wrestlers are so weird.
Yeah. As far as I remember, he provided nothing to the NWO. In fact, the Warrior...
co-opted him.
Yeah, and then brainwashed him into the ways of the One Warrior Nation.
Exactly.
And so then he was the Warrior's disciple.
Which was weird, because then it was the Two Warrior Nation. Right?
Yeah.
That's like, I did appreciate, though, that it was very clever. One Warrior Nation, the acronym...
NWO backwards.
Was NWO backwards, yeah. Anyways,
but yeah. As far as I remember, like it said, he was a member of the NWO for... less than a year,
and he was still the disciple. He was still the Warrior's disciple, I think, after Warrior left.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, more than a year. He was a disciple, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because by the time the Warrior left, he was just a disciple, apparently, to nobody.
Of yeah, I know. At some point, couldn't he have just come out and been like, "Hey, the disciple NWO"? Couldn't he have just been like, "Hey, Bischoff or Russo or whoever was booking at the time.
Like, my name's a disciple. I should be a disciple of somebody.
Can I do like the Booty Man or something else? Like, yeah. Whatever he was. I don't know what else he ever was.
He's gone under a lot of names. He was Zodiac, Booty Man. He's got a long list.
Jeez.
We should just do a kayfabe corner on just
at
him.
At some point, his name was Eddie Hogan.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think that was in when they were wrestling together in Florida.
The Clip Master. So at one point, he moved on from scissors to clippers. The Disciple till 99. In November 6, 1999, WCW Worldwide, he wore attire much like he did in his early WWF days as Brutus Beefcake, though still under the Disciple ring name, and lost to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make
any
sense.
What a mess. That's yeah. WCW for you.
It's so weird.
It is weird.
And then he was like a subway operator. He was a heel subway operator.
Yeah.
And they thought that he had like cocaine, or they thought that he had like, didn't he leave like some coke laying around? They thought it was anthrax, and there was like a big scare.
Oh, wow.
There's something weird like that. Number two, Lex Luger.
Lex Luger's not cool.
No, he's like the least cool wrestler there maybe has ever been.
And NWO Wolfpack was supposed to be like the embodiment of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, you had Conan. Conan's still cool.
Yeah.
Conan's like the lone cool thing about GFW these days. You had Conan there.
You had Nash.
You had Nash, who was cool.
And while Sting was out of place, at least Sting is cool.
Sting is cool.
Sting
at
is
least
cool.
There's that. But then he had Luger.
Not
Luger's
cool.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Who else was in? Am I missing people?
Rick Rude was in for a little bit.
What? Oh, Macho Man was in the Wolfpack. He was super cool.
Yeah, he was super cool.
But Luger was not. Why did Luger even join?
He seemed confused by that too.
Seemed confused as to which NWO he was a part of.
Yeah, to him, it was not NWO Wolfpack. It was Wolfpack NWO. There is this segment he did with Conan.
Mysterio.
Well, Mysterio was there too, but Conan came out. And no one seemed to have any idea what the other person was talking about whatsoever.
Oh, man. Yeah, and then he wanted to attack Rey Mysterio because they were doing the LWO.
Yeah.
And Luger got into a program with Rey Mysterio, came out and said, "You are not Wolfpack NWO." And Rey Mysterio was like, "I've never claimed to be Wolfpack NWO. It clearly says LWO and they're Mexican colors. This is our own Latino pride."
Yeah, but Luger just kept on about it.
Luger didn't understand.
And then Conan came out seemingly confused.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he was just trying to defend Rey, I think. He was like, "Hey, Rey's my buddy.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing." But Luger didn't get it.
No.
So, yeah, very confused.
And then Luger ended up joining NWO Elite when Wolfpack.
Oh, they let him into the Elite?
I know. Got back together.
Oh, man.
He stuck around NWO Elite till April of 99.
Oh, wow.
And then he was done with the NWO. Then he became the total package.
Then he wrestled a T-shirt backstage at an indie show.
And lost.
That's great, this fool.
All right, number one.
Number one!
It's Jeff Jarrett.
Come on, give me a break. He's like the lamest member of the NWO, the lamest member of Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Did you believe he was Bullet Club?
No.
That's the worst.
Like, I literally feel like they had him join NWO 2000.
Yeah.
And he eventually became the leader after Bret Hart got hurt, which is weird why Bret Hart was ever a member of the NWO in the first place.
No, that didn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. So you have NWO 2000, which included Nash, Hall.
Who at that point was completely checked
out. Know. And Steiner.
Yeah, Steiner.
And you have Jeff Jarrett as leader.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett, we just said that Lex Luger is the least cool person. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jarrett's up there, too.
He's maybe the least cool person in all of wrestling.
Yeah. There's nothing cool about Jeff Jarrett.
Zero cool about Jeff Jarrett.
The only cool thing about NWO 2000 is that the graphic, it was in silver.
Yeah, it was the silver and black at this point.
Yeah.
The band was back together.
Yeah, that was their catchphrase.
But at that point, the NWO, like WCW, no one cared. Was just so dead.
And no one cared.
And it was just a grasp. Nobody cared. It was just a grasp at former glory. Everybody knew it. Everybody realized it. You have Jeff Jarrett and his dumb guitar.
Calling everybody slap nuts.
Preening in front of everybody, and you're just immediately, you're lame.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Jarrett always looked like a middle-aged man. Like, he's got that shock blonde hair, which could easily be misconstrued for gray.
Yeah.
And he has, like, wrinkly leather face, kind of. He was just not, and he just walks around with an acoustic guitar.
I know, and hits it over the head of people.
He had, like, generic tights. He would walk around,
well, the tights were a huge improvement over what he used to wear.
Yeah, no, that's true. But then, like, he would also walk around with, like, sleeveless coral-colored shirts. Well, I just say coral because I had a coral shirt
on vacation.
But you had sleeves on it.
I did.
Like, you looked cool compared to Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
He was terrible. Like, that's when you knew. And Bret Hart was checked out, but then he was checked out from day one in WCW.
Well, also, he had to not do it anymore because he got kicked in the head by Goldberg.
That's right. You remember when Bret Hart actually came out during that Starrcade match? Like, he probably knew. Like, he probably watched that damn monitor and was like,
that wasn't a fast count.
I thought that was supposed to be a fast count. Why am I going out there now?
I know.
Bret, I'm
sick. And he probably just worried about the whole thing that he's going to look like an asshole.
Which he kind of did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, anyways, those are the 10 worst members of NWO. We thought about putting Dennis Rodman on there, but Dennis Rodman was actually kind of cool. And that dude was a rebound master.
He was.
He was like legit.
He, you know, yeah, he's a member of the NWO, but he wasn't on TV every week.
No, he wasn't.
He just showed up here and there.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I thought Dennis Rodman was kind of cool. He did some cool things back in the day.
Back in the day, yes.
Anyways, that's it for Count Out. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.